Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Tim Swartz is trying his best to be an ancient god.
I want a t-shirt. I'm in the Paracast.
More like, oh, my liver.
Let us proceed with the genetic engineering.
Again, whether it's through selective breeding or engineering, he wanted a particular strain of human that contained something of his essence to be able to fight the giants and fend them off from overthrowing the Olympians. So Hercules's mother and his father both were of the line of Perseus. And then he bred with Alcmena, Hercules' mother, and again added his genetic material to that Persian line to create Hercules, who was the first superhero. And Hercules was not only able to defeat the giants, but he was able to ascend to Olympus when he finished with his earthly labors. Athena escorted him there herself. He joined Zeus and some say became the porter of heaven. And he would often come to Earth and help people who were in trouble. And I've collected stories. I don't have them anymore. The computer that I had them on died a long time ago. But I collected accounts from like World War I and World War II, where people who fought in the war in Greece say that somebody they thought was Hercules appeared and saved the day. So I guess he's still at it.
Well, the other interesting thing is that the Greek gods, especially the Greek gods, seem to be a very randy bunch, especially mm-hmm. Zeus. You know, you were talking about really, you know, kind of like the genetic selection of humankind, and they were all too willing to come down to Earth and do the dirty work themselves.
Yes, they were, and that's I've always found that appealing about the Greek gods. You know, they're very much like us, so they have a better understanding of us. Like even in spirituality, you pray to Hercules in antiquity because he lived through being human, and he had a hard time of it. And so even though he was the mightiest son of the greatest god of the Olympian pantheon, humanity was tough for him. So you tend to cut people slack when even your god had a hard time with being human. And yes, they were very much like humanity. In some myths and in some of the movies that came out in the 60s, it hints that we're entertainment. You know, we're kind of like their video game or their reality TV show. And that one of the heavens, one of the Elysiums, is kind of like a glam heaven where you have like anyone who's made an impact on the world, positive or negative, will go to that Elysium if they entertain the gods.
Well, you also have in modern UFO mythology the alleged sexual interactions between mm-hmm. UFO nuts and people. And again, you know, there's a lot of similarities. You know, people out alone in the wilderness are suddenly accosted by, you know, take your pick, the elementals, the gods, UFO nuts.
Who are shapeshifters, beings of light, so it could be anybody.
Well, again, I mean, here we're seeing this underlying connection throughout history of shapeshifting beings who have a special interest in us for whatever reason that has interacted with us somewhat secretly. From the beginning of time.
Yes, and the myths indicate that very powerfully. And one of the things that I talk about all the time when I do library talks and things like that is that the experiences are universal, the explanations are myriad and kind of lead you off the path. And the example I bring up is shadows. Shadows are a universal experience. People see shadows at night, or they sense shadows, or they hear breathing, or something sitting on the bed, or something making sexual overtures. It's a shadow, and it usually tells them that everything's okay and to go back to sleep, and they do. This experience is universal, and I don't think there's ever been a talk I've given anywhere where at least somebody had a shadow story to share with me afterwards. But what the shadows are, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. In Greek, they could be satyrs. They could be Italian filetti. They could be incubi or succubi. They could be Sasquatch. They could be UFO aliens. They could be some form of elemental. You don't know what they are, except that the MO is exactly the same, but our explanations are different, and the explanation that we buy into determines the nature of the reality of what we're experiencing for us and for people around us. And that's why the Regional Folklore Society or the Center for the Study of Living Myth, these experiences are real on some level, whether they're collective or individual, but the explanations about them, the beliefs about them, they have the power to change culture and to change lives. So I find that extremely fascinating.
The explanations are all of the above and none of the above.
Right, exactly.
Well, okay, what about you? You're well known in your community and have been well known for a number of years. It's not often that you'll find a community so willing to embrace somebody who goes around saying, you know, his name is Hercules Invictus. And I mean, you know, you play it full out, and your community loves you.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody in my community. Some people object to my existence, but not very many, fortunately.
Well, I mean, you know, I think anybody will find that. But I mean, you know, for the most part, I mean, you know, you've been embraced.
Yes, I'm very fortunate. I lead the Interfaith Holiday Parade, and I close it with blessings from Mount Olympus. I go with the mayor and the president of the Chamber of Commerce and the council people to welcome new businesses into town, and we've got ribbons, and I'm dressed in my Olympian finery when I do so. And I love doing that. It's a very important thing for me to be doing, and my community has embraced me, you know, despite all that.
You have kids, Hercules. How many, by the way?
I have kids. I have three kids.
Okay. How old are they, and what do they think of their dad being this character?
Well, my eldest son was born in 85, so I don't know how old that makes him.
That would make him 37.
He's 37, and I'm his dad. You know, I've always been strange and different, and he seems to celebrate that. My two other sons, one I don't hear from or talk to very often, but his mom is in contact. So I don't know exactly what I'm thought of at this particular time. And our youngest lives at home with us, and I'm his dad. And all he's known is the dad that I am. So don't really know what he thinks.
When he's a teenager, he'll start to rate you.
Oh, he's in his early 20s.
Oh, okay. Well, that's gone. Well, it sounds like there's acceptance there that you're just a guy and you're not some kind of weird character who runs around on weekends talking about gods from Olympus.
Well, I do talk about gods from Olympus quite
often. That's what I said, but he doesn't look at that as anything weird. I mean, my son didn't look at me being super weird because I was chasing after UFOs and such. He even read a few books about it. But we've got more to come, and by the way, Hercules Invictus will hang with us for at least some of the After the Paracast premium podcast. We've got more to talk about with Gene and Tim and Hercules. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, we're continuing with Hercules Invictus, one of the more interesting people we've talked with on the Paracast. We haven't done a lot of exploration of myths, especially ancient myths. But you were mentioning before about shape-shifting. And I thought to myself of a scene in the movie Contact where Jodie Foster may or may not be traveling to another star system, although physically not seeming to move anywhere, and she meets something in the form of her dad, and the being says to her, I'm coming this way in so many words because you would not accept my real appearance. And I was thinking here, we hear about all kinds of alien creatures. We hear about them having the power of mind control. Hey, what? Maybe they're just doing that for our benefit or for some psychological purpose.
That's very possible. And if Whitley Strieber is correct, it's unknowable what their purpose might be. But they're part of the human experience, and they've been part of the human experience since the dawn of time. So I don't believe they're here to invade us or supplant us or enslave us, because had they wanted to do so, they would have already done so. I believe that they're part of our experience here, and that we're very connected with them. And again, the mythology that I seem to resonate most with and prefer to associate with, the gods are part of our genetic material. The gods have bred with humanity for so long that we're kind of like a hybrid. Greeks do believe that they're here for a purpose. When I was young, it was a brainwashing thing. We're here to Hellenize the non-Hellenic world. We're here to spread civilization. This was drummed into my head for years by, at home, at school, you know, in cultural events. You know, so being descended from the gods is part of that. And even though modern Greeks generally don't believe in the ancient gods as gods, they believe in their reality, and they celebrate them and the culture that arose from the gods still. So I remember growing up, and it was always told that never to forget that I'm descended from gods and kings and heroes. So it becomes part of the, you know, reality. And establishes a kinship with these beings that perhaps is not found in other cultures or in other contexts. So I see the Olympians as my family, the same way as my ancestors are part of my family.
This has nothing to do with what you were just talking about. I just came online here. Okay. We're talking here, of course, about technology, that maybe the ancients had technology that we haven't even achieved yet. So an experiment from NASA, the Perseverance mission, showed that the box, this toaster-sized device, can make oxygen from carbon dioxide that is in abundance in the Martian atmosphere. In other words, they can create an environment where they generate oxygen and we can survive there on Mars. I think of the movie Total Recall with Schwarzenegger,
yes,
where they had an internal oxygen generator.
That sounds incredible. Do you think it'll happen in our lifetime? Or?
You know what? I don't think we'll get to Mars in my lifetime, because my lifetime is far more advanced than yours. Maybe in your lifetime. I think it's late. The biggest thing that bothers me about the space program is that after the initial moon landings, we gave up.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll send a space shuttle. What's a space shuttle? We could have been to Mars already and beyond. Instead, we're several decades late. So that's why I say, I'm not going to see it, or if I do, I'll be too old to care.
I hope it happens. I believe, like you do, that we gave up too soon, that we should have continued. I remember at the time people felt that it was a waste of money when there were so many social problems that we should be dealing with. But the hope that it gave humanity, the belief that we can transcend and grow past our current situation, Star Trek being a great example of how fictively it was encapsulated. But I, too, believe we made a great mistake by not continuing.
Yeah, it was Richard Nixon, actually, that ended the Apollo program. They were scheduled to have at least two, maybe three more flights to the moon. But as soon as Nixon got the opportunity to cut it, he did.
Maybe that was his ultimate revenge to John F. Kennedy. Because Kennedy beat him in the 1960 election, although I understand that Nixon and Kennedy were very close friends, beat him in the 1960 election, and the best way to wipe away his legacy is to take his biggest achievement, which happened after he died, the space program. No, I don't think that was it. Still.
Yeah. Well, the space program suffered, though, I mean, because of that for a number of years. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, it really put us back. And we, you know, fool around with the space shuttle, which never lived up to its potential. So
there's a lot of things happening in outer space, though, that we're generally kept unaware of. It kind of, whatever happens gets drowned out in other news, and it doesn't really pop up in national consciousness. But we have like an international space station. We have all sorts of things happening on other planets with robotic devices. We have, I believe, Voyager still sending like enigmatic images from beyond the solar system. So there's a lot, but we don't focus on it as much as we used to focus on these things before.
My question is, once we do manage to make it to Mars and then to other locations, will our mythologies follow us?
I think they will. Maybe not in the form we currently know them, but the Olympians are already in outer space in the comic books and the movies, like Thor: Love and Thunder. You know, here they were in Omnipotence City, or I think that's what it was called, where you had gods from different planets meeting together, and Zeus led the whole thing, and you had that concept out there, which is a very theosophical concept in the popular imagination. And Hercules in Marvel Comics has been to outer space, and he indulges in space battles. So it is very possible that in our imaginations, these ancient figures will continue to exist and manifest in new ways, and the roots are already there. The justification put them there, the name that they go under and the tales that are associated with them might be a little bit different, but they'll still be recognizable.
I know there was, and I wish I could remember the title, there was one science fiction novel I remember reading years ago that impressed me, and it was along these lines of astronauts colonizing a new planet. Very similar to some of the short stories of Ray Bradbury, they start encountering various deities and ghosts and things like that, the explanation being that whatever life force is on that planet is now responding to the conscious belief systems of all the new colonizers, and it's taking up those forms.
Hercules, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
USA Radio News.
Senator John Kennedy stated that President Joe Biden's rebuke of Republicans and former President Donald Trump showed that age does not equal wisdom, and it was a missed opportunity.
His speech was a very cynical attempt,
yep,
to fill our heads with stupid. And number three, I thought to myself, what a missed opportunity to talk to the American people straight up about the reasons when they lie down and sleep at night they can't. He could have talked about crime, inflation, learning loss by our children, the mountains of fentanyl coming across the border, killing our teenagers.
President Biden was doing an evening speech in Philadelphia Thursday when he mentioned MAGA Republicans. This is USA Radio News. Defense attorneys have concluded 2 weeks of testimony in the sentencing trial of the Parkland shooter Nicholas Cruz. Henderson Behavioral Health case manager Tiffany Forrest says back in 2013 when she visited the Cruz's home, it was chaotic at best and abusive at worst.
Going frequently, you could see that there was quite a bit of dysfunction.
The shooter was 14 and his widowed adoptive mother seemed overwhelmed raising the shooter and his younger brother, Zachary. The trial will be on hiatus until September 12th, but defense attorneys only need one juror to agree to life in prison over a death sentence. A death penalty verdict must be unanimous. New York City is suing Starbucks over allegations that the coffee corporation unlawfully fired a Queens barista who had been involved in unionization efforts. This is USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, we got some more stuff going on with Hercules and Tim and Jean. We're going to continue exploring the ancient myths after we visit the Samuel Weiser bookstore. But you see, that changed my life, that store. The reason is one day I saw a copy of a magazine called Saucer News from Jim Moseley. And I wrote a letter to the editor, and this is in the early 60s. He calls me on the phone. We had a listed phone number, big mistake. And we ended up becoming friends, and he was my first employer. I actually had a real job with him where I received probably what would have been the equivalent of about $40 or $50 an hour today in 1960s cash. I didn't realize how well I was being paid at the time. And then I went to radio and got paid a lot less. So what do I know about those things? Tim, you have questions?
I was just going to say, get paid a lot less and a lot more work, too.
Yeah, my cousin is a DJ, Ron Carson. I'm in Connecticut. And, yeah, I hear the tales of the industry from him.
So, Hercules, you've got coming up starting in September, I guess it's a lecture series at the your local library called Living Myths and Other World Explorers Meet Up. What's that about?
That's one of the titles. We decided we'd name it something later. I couldn't come up with what I wanted to call it, so we took a bunch of things I've done in the past and I put them all together. One of the things that I believe in is I believe in having places where people can share their stories, because although I feel comfortable sharing mine, most people don't feel comfortable sharing theirs, and we get a lot of flack from friends and family if they started sharing the types of experiences that I have no problem sharing. So I pick a topic, and it's paranormal related or UFO related. I'll talk about the topic like we do on the panel show that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's no guest speaker. I'm just speaking on everything. But then I'll invite people in the audience to share their experiences if they'd like. People attend and they share their stories, and then they realize they're not alone in experiencing what they experienced. And then we share speculations, and I make it very clear I'm not there to convince anybody that my particular interpretation is correct, because my interpretation changes as I grow and gain new insights. You know, and something one of them says might change my mind dramatically, and I'll explain it differently next time. So it's just a journey of things that happen to people that are not standard and that fit into these sensationalistic categories, just sharing the tale and with each other. And before the pandemic hit, the director of the library back then, now there's a new director, we were going to write a grant to try to record these things and preserve them for posterity. So hopefully that'll happen someday soon. But that's kind of like what it is. It's an opportunity for people to get together, to meet with other people of a similar interest, and to share stories if they have them with each other. People generally have stories, and even the people who come in the beginning and say, well, you know, I have no experiences, you know, I never had, I don't believe in any of this stuff, I'm just interested in learning about it. And then by the end of the meeting, they'll have a story or two to share of things that happened to them. So that happens fairly often. So in Pennsylvania, rather, in the Poconos, it was called the Regional Folklore Society. And when I first moved back to New Jersey, it was the Center for the Study of Living Myths. So that title you have there is kind of like, you know, a hodgepodge of those just to start it off. And when a better name, you know, comes up, we will use that. I had something in New Jersey also called the Astral Adventurers Society for people who do astral travel and lucid dreaming and meditation, things like that, to report their experiences. Because, again, this is a pre, now we live in a YouTube world where all information is available to anybody anywhere, but these things serve the purpose before them, because who do you tell? Who can you share this with? They won't think you're crazy or being anti-religious or something. So that's what that's all about. So I have like 8 months worth of topics, everything from echoes of lost Atlantis to space gods and cosmic prophets, which is, I believe, the first one I'm going to do. Right? I also have something in Branchville, New Jersey, which is called Olympian Shamanism and the Heroic Path. And that takes the path of the hero as is shared mostly in Greek mythology, but not exclusively in Greek mythology, and shown how it's basically the shamanic experience, which, like lucid dreaming and astral projection, is a way of experiencing worlds beyond the better brainwave world that we call reality.
When someone believes they astrally projected, what do you think is happening?
I don't know. Like I said, I tend to put things in, you know, like, can it be understood as something pertaining to you and your psychology first before I start exploring other options? But it is possible through various techniques to take your awareness and put it somewhere else, and you could perceive things that are happening. And then you could check with people to see if those things actually did happen as you perceive them. And many cases you have where they do happen. And you could train people to do it by having them imagine a place where they're all familiar with and then report back on what happens. And eventually you'll start getting similarities and then incidents that are the same. Then you try to determine, how does that feel different from when you were experiencing things that nobody else was experiencing, and you kind of could tell when something actually took place rather than just your imagining yourself being there with certain people. So it is possible to, you know, bilocate consciousness. I don't know exactly that these things are different from each other. because they all kind of overlap, so they're part of a spectrum of experiences. So astral projection is, in my mind, very similar to lucid dreaming, except one of them you started doing while you were awake, and the other one you started doing when you were already in a dream. And the, like, mind travel, the same thing. You can do that through meditation. You can do it in a variety of different ways. Astral is a place that's used, it means starry in Greek, and that goes back into the Greeks' beliefs about these beings that we now call ETs and aliens. So the astral realm was a place of dreams, it was a place of imagination. So you could perceive very many things, but you didn't know how real the things you're perceiving are. And that's why you needed to train yourself through attempts and through talking to other people to do it so that what you're perceiving was more correct than just, again, what was in your imagination and your own fantasy. I don't know if that made a lot of sense. if not, I'll gladly clarify.
It reads to me like remote viewing.
Yes, yeah, that too. I see that as very similar, different ways of accomplishing the same thing.
We actually had a remote viewer on the Paracast well over a decade ago. We've been around since 2006. And wow. We gave him an experiment. And he actually made solid progress in achieving what we expected. Unfortunately, his attitude got pretty weird. And he was banned from the forums. And we had all sorts of personality stuff. So it didn't work out so well. But that was one of the rare occasions in which someone attempted to do something supernatural, paranormal, etc., and it worked, more or less, except the problem I saw with remote viewing is it wasn't consistent enough
right.
to actually have it work under normal circumstances, such as having remote spies. Wouldn't that be great, right? You want to spy in a country, you don't have to put somebody's life at risk, but just go over there. Problem is here, the information was not consistent enough or detailed enough to make it work, which is kind of unfortunate. Wouldn't that be fun? Be able to go to some place and enjoy the scenery, but you never leave your home. You don't have to worry about the winter weather, the heat in the Sahara Desert, that kind of thing. We have Hercules and Gene and Tim in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer. 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, Hercules will join us for the After the Paracast premium podcast, part of the Paracast Plus, so you'll want to be able to check that out. Right now we have a lot more things to talk about, because once you talk about myths and reality and legends and collective unconscious and all this other stuff, the subjects and the ramifications are endless. But you're dealing with mythology here, Hercules. What can science do about it?
Well, one thing science can do about it is something that's pointed out by the ancient astronaut theorists and the archaeologists who don't ascribe to orthodox archaeology, is just to remain open to the possibilities. I don't believe everything I hear on like ancient alien type of programs is something I believe personally that they're a little far-fetched. But asking the questions is a valid thing, because we see the world through different eyes. Like what seemed to be a bumblebee or a bird to somebody before we had airplanes is very clearly an airplane when you look at it. You know, through our eyes, what appeared to be a makeup case to somebody who first identified it as such now it looks like a laptop with one of those ports where you stick the cables in. So what is it exactly? I still don't think we know, but there is a lot of evidence for advanced civilizations. There is a lot of evidence for encounters with beings that are intelligent and sentient but not human, for us to turn a blind eye to them or to dismiss them. So I wish science would explore these subjects in a way that would make them more acceptable for others to look into and inquire, instead of ostracizing those who explore these things and try to share their findings.
Well, with UFOs, they're looking at it as a physical phenomenon.
Yes.
Okay, it's going to be drones, it's going to be some kind of advanced technology, or it's ET.
Or something we're not aware of yet, like ultra-terrestrials or crypto-terrestrials. There's been a lot of new terms for beings that aren't, that can be physical but aren't exactly physical.
The Pentagon isn't chasing after ultra-terrestrials, or if they are, they're not telling us. They are looking into human effects, though, where
yes,
someone sees something strange and then all havoc breaks loose in someone's personal life. That they're looking into, but only barely because it's just mentioned but not discussed.
It's a good step that we're taking as a culture to admit that there is something there and we don't know what it is. That's a good, healthy step. I don't believe that the things that are being shared are like earth-shattering to anybody who's been following these things for quite a while and speculating about them. But it is, it's a first step. Someone told me the other day that there's been money allocated in the budget to explore UFOs. Oh, this has openly been allocated for UFO studies. So I think that's a good step also.
It started in the early 2000s when the late Senator Harry Reid, as the Senate Majority Leader, got them to spend $22 million for UAP, not UFO, right, investigations, and they send everything off to the NIDS organization from Bob Bigelow that's no longer being operated. They've had three iterations of this already, with budgets and everything, but they seem focused on this basic 144 sightings from the Navy, the Tic Tac UFO, etc. But stuff that happened before that, stuff that happened in civilian life, we don't hear. They're trying to keep that as restricted as possible.
Yes, and I consider that unfortunate.
Well, I think that they're actually trying to control the narrative so that eventually they'll come to the conclusion that the majority of the UFO sightings are some kind of man-made technology, secret weapons, that sort of thing, and tossing out everything else that's contrary to that.
You may very well be right. It's the question that was asked earlier about how much of it is done for control and how much of it is done to just basically keep society intact. We're in a very strange place with our beliefs right now. Somebody does have to consider what the effects will be on people with extreme beliefs if this type of information proves to be correct and we're being watched not by a monotheistic God, but by people from other places or other times.
But what about people who do believe in one God? How are they supposed to treat the perception that there might be multiple gods or multiple beings that are quite superior to us?
The ancients had a belief in one God also, but they believed that that one God was beyond human comprehension. It was called the Ena, the One. With Paul, when he went and spread Christianity from the Rock of Ares in Athens, he seized upon the point that there was an altar to the unacknowledged God in the Acropolis. So there was an understanding that there was something transcendent, something that was beyond the concepts of the gods that they had. And even the gods bowed to fate and to necessity. So there were powers more powerful than the gods even then in antiquity. The Olympians had been integrated into, like, for instance, into Christianity. They were known as the virtues in some systems of angelology. And in magic books like the Arbatel, it was kind of like they existed, but they were put in their place by the one God. And now they work for him. Again, they never really went anywhere, even in not in our popular imagination and not in our religious strivings. The Olympians inspired the Renaissance, you know, and they were credited with inspiring the Renaissance. And all the paintings that were made of mostly nude gods and nude figures, it became acceptable to show nudity if it was classical, because classical education was a modern, progressive, good education. So they still have the power to influence and affect things. Whether you can consider them anything you want, but even during the ancient times, they didn't consider the Olympians to be the be-all, end-all of cosmic powers.
So they would be intermediary gods?
You could look at them that way. I know in Greece I spoke to many mystics who were trained in Greek Orthodox beliefs, and they believed that the Olympians existed, and they believed that part of their responsibility as Christian mystics was to prevent the Olympians from capturing the hearts of the Greeks again. So, you know, they existed, they're real, but they shouldn't be allowed to be worshipped again. And that's what they were doing. And in the peasant conceptions, again, the god thunders, the god has a thunderous voice, the god is throwing rain to fertilize the earth. Those are very ancient and archaic concepts. for a lot of people that are integrated into their Christianity, if they're Christians or monotheists, I know that in Greece we have the heaven of virtuous pagans. For pagans who were born before Christ came to us, and for, I guess, people like me who afterwards stuck with the Olympians. So there's that, too.
Can you tell our listeners, if they want to find out more of the things you do, where do they go?
At this particular point in time, Facebook is actually the best way to contact me and to follow what I'm doing. I have two accounts because of a Facebook glitch that happened, but they're both under Hercules Invictus. So you can look me up, and I post daily. I also have a podcast station on Blog Talk Radio called Hercules Invictus. Started a YouTube channel not too long ago, and Tim is a frequent guest, and I know I have to have you now after this conversation come on the show.
Well, I don't do video. I don't cast a reflection. You can find us on Twitter. If you look for the PowerCast, we have two segments also on Facebook, a fan club, and a group. But Facebook doesn't let us put the URL for thepowercast.com there. We have branded merchandise, the T-shirts and all the other goodies, with four different logos to choose from at thepowercast.shop. That's thepowercast.shop. Hercules Invictus will be hanging with us for the After the PowerCast premium podcast. Part of the PowerCast Plus streaming package, we also give you this show free of the network ads. Better quality audio. To check more, check thepowercast.plus, thepowercast.plus, that's P-L-U-S, thepowercast.plus, and get this. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20. We give you a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions, thepowercast.plus. Hercules Invictus, thank you for joining us on The PowerCast.
I'm honored to be on The PowerCast, and like I said, I want a T-shirt now. I've been to The PowerCast.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.